And hey, my name is Tracy Thomas. I am Director of Alumni Relations at Lincoln Christian University. And I am really happy to be here. And I tell you, one of the reasons why I'm really happy to be here is because when I sent my sermon to Jesse, Jesse's like, hey, you think you can cover? I was like, hey, no problem. Absolutely. God to help. And I sent him a sermon. He's like, hey, you're talking about heroes today, man. And Awana on Wednesday night just did superhero night. Last Wednesday night at Awana, and I'm here to tell you, I think that is absolutely awesome because I am a big fan of heroes. So many of us grow up wanting to be heroes. I remember the pictures that I had when I was little, the first Halloween costumes that my parents thought to actually take a picture of me in. Robin Hood, you know, was my very first one. And then I upgraded to Batman after that. And I remember being 10 years old and going to the movie theater and seeing Christopher Reeve playing Superman. And, you know, and the moniker, you know, under the posters, you will believe a man can fly. And I remember being in the theater, man, when the helicopter's falling and he catches Lois Lane with one arm and he catches the helicopter with the other hand and that John Williams score is playing in the background. I would have run through a wall at that moment watching that scene. I remember being in the theater for Avengers Endgame, right? The big battle against Thanos when all the heroes return after the 5-year blip and Captain America catches Mjolnir, right? Thor's hammer. He catches it and he turns and he whispers the line that folks have been going to Avengers movies all these years have been wanting him to say, right? He says, Avengers, and he whispers it, right? Assemble. And then that was like, yes, that is absolutely fantastic. I love heroes. Heroes are strong. Heroes are mysterious. Heroes defeat the bad guy. And none of them are real. The movie ends and the lights come on and you all go home. We wear the Superman costume, but we can't fly. We watch the show and then turn off the TV. And so we find ourselves craving real heroes. People like Mr. Zimmer. Mr. Zimmer was my 5th grade teacher. And until then, my teachers had all been Mrs. or Miss. Or Ms. But I remember being in 5th grade, and there's a guy in the front of this room, and there's a guy he looks like me, he sounds like me, he acts like me. Maybe I can be like him. Jerry was my minister growing up. He baptized me. He had a nice family. They came to church every week. My dad didn't go to church. It just wasn't on his radar. And it was through Jerry that I began to see what a man of God might look like. There's something about Mr. Zimmer and something about Jerry that Superman will never have. They're real. I can be like them. I will never be faster than a speeding bullet. I will never have billions of dollars to build a bat plane. Mr. Zimmer and Jerry, they invite me on a journey I can actually take. They invite me to be like them. That's what I love about the people in this book. They're real. And at their core, they're just people. Just like you and just like me. They do some of the same stupid stuff we do. They have some of the same issues and hang-ups that we do. And yet, there's something special about them. Look at this guy, for example. Genesis 6:9 tells us, this is the account of Noah and his family. Take Noah, for instance. Our amazing God takes a person like Noah and says, I can work with this. And then their example becomes our example. If my God can work with someone like Noah, maybe he can work with someone like me. But how does that happen? Let's start for just a second with what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11 says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. But then the writer of Hebrews adds this note. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for ancients like Noah. Noah had faith. Well, how do we know? How do we know that Noah had confidence in what he hoped for, as the writer of Hebrews says? How do we know that he had assurance about what he did not see? Was he commended because of what he believed? Or was he commended on the basis of what he did about what he believed? Here's how Martin Moore puts it. Martin Moore says that faith is fidelity, loyalty, and commitment. Anything else is shallow and ineffective. It's both. It's loyalty and commitment. It's belief that leads somewhere. This is how the writer of Hebrews puts it. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Noah was a man of faith. We make this statement not because of what Noah believed. To be honest, we have no idea really what Noah believed. We don't have his writings to sift through and discover his theology. We don't know anything about that. What do we know? We make this statement because we know what Noah did. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. What did Noah do? He walked with God. And what does it mean to faithfully walk? Well, it's belief in action. It's faith and obedience. And what I want to do this morning is I kind of want to highlight a few things about what it means to be obedient in Noah's world and in ours. And the first thing is this: when you faithfully obey God, you stick out like a sore thumb. We saw verse 9 just a second ago, that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. They walked with God. But contrast verse 9 with verse 11. Look what verse 11 says. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people, and he walked faithfully with God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Now this may come as a shock to you, and you might want to sit down to take this, but the world isn't getting any better. I know this may surprise some of you, but you need to realize that the Star Trek utopian Gene Roddenberry idea that somehow human beings on their own will figure all these things out and we'll just become people that won't worry about any of these issues anymore. No. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse. Or maybe I should say the lines are getting a little easier to see. Here's what the Apostle Paul told a young preacher named Timothy. He said, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, to catch the separation, the world's not good and it's going to get worse. But you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. There are two words there in the original language, sude. We translate them, but you. See what the rest of the world's doing? You see how we're literally going to hell in a handbasket? You see what the world is doing? They're deceiving, they're being deceived. The world is getting worse every single day. I think you see it. But that's not our call. Our call is to be faithful to what we've learned. But you, my friends, are different. I wonder what it must have been like to be Noah. Building a boat, board by board, year after year. And all around him, things just keep getting worse. If you read Genesis, you understand the progression or lack thereof. From Genesis 3 to Genesis 4 to Genesis 5, the world is literally falling apart generation by generation. And Noah gets the word to begin to build a boat in a place that has never seen rain, did not know what rain was. He begins the decades-long process to build a boat. In all that he's time, he's doing this. Nail by nail, board by board, the world continues to get worse. And what does Noah do? He keeps building. He keeps sawing. He keeps hammering. Why? Because God told him to build a boat. He sent a message with every swing of the hammer. He sent a message with every cut of the board. I will obey my God. And I invite you to do the same thing. When we obey, we say to God and to the world, I know what Jesus did for me. I know what I believe. And because of my belief, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey. Hebrews 11 mentions Noah by name. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, catch what the writer says. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By his faith, he condemned the world. Let's be straight up honest here. Obedience to God will not make you popular. I'm a part of Lincoln Christian University. We try very, very hard to make certain that we honor God in every single thing that we do. And every year, because of that, we lose support from people, from churches. We lose support from students that can't stand being on campus because they can't figure out why we're so serious about all this stuff. The world will hate your obedience because your faithfulness condemns their actions. Your obedience reveals their sin. Light has a way of doing that to darkness. Jesus told his disciples that the world would hate them more than they do him. And as long as we're being honest, I'm going to tell you something right now. I think the church does better when we are the visiting team. And I don't know if you understand what I mean when I say that. But for so many years, the church has been the home team in the culture. And I tell you, I don't necessarily know if it did the kingdom a whole lot of good. But I think there's something to be said for the church being the visiting team. The world is getting worse and lines are being drawn. And those who say that they are Christ followers are being challenged like never before. You're a Christ follower? Prove it. How do you prove it? You keep loving God, keep loving people, you keep serving, you keep giving, you keep bringing the cups of cold water, as Scripture says, in his name. The world is getting louder. I'm sure that Noah heard the taunts and the accusations as he built a boat for a flood in a world that had never seen rain. And Noah kept on building, nail by nail, board by board, day by day. Do you want to be faithful like Noah? Then prove it. Keep building the kingdom of God. And in case you haven't figured this out by now, we should go to point two. When you faithfully obey God, you're all in. Genesis 6 ends with this note. It says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Back when God used Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses told the people that one day their children will ask a question. What does this all mean? Why do you have all of these ceremonies? Why do you have all of these feast days? What is the point and purpose of all of these special events? And on that day, you will tell them, Moses said, we were slaves in Egypt, but our God set us free. I wonder sometimes about Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth. You know they had to hear people talking about their father, right? I mean, Noah's building this boat. It's taking him decades to build this boat. You don't think these guys are hanging out with their buddies and their buddies are like, what is wrong with your dad? You don't think they heard that a time or two? There had to come a point when they got together and one of them had to ask, Father, what is the point of all this? I can hear Noah say, my sons, our Father is about to set us free. Obedience isn't easy. And while it is for our best that we obey, the truth is that it doesn't always feel that way. It's so easy to quit. It's so easy to drift, to stop building, not to love all, but just love some, not to serve all, but just serve a few, not to give all, but give a little. But that is never what obedience to Christ is all about. I remember reading in the Old Testament about the kings of the two kingdoms, right? The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And I used to think there were two kinds of kings. Those who did right in the eyes of the Lord, those who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And quite frankly, I would have been happy with that dichotomy. I would have been happy with that setup. Oh, you're following Christ or you're not. But unfortunately, I have discovered a third category of king. And this one scares me. 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. There's a third category, my friends. And unfortunately, that third category is where I tend to find myself. Genesis 6:22 said, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Are we all in? This world is getting worse. Battle lines are getting drawn every day. People are so quick to choose sides in the political arena. Or they're so quick to listen to this or that medical advice. You listen to them, they say this. How could you listen to that? You should listen to this. Because this is truth and this is real. And we fight back and forth and we go on social media celebrating or lambasting this or that aspect of culture. We're so good at that. We are so quick to jump on Facebook and shout our opinion till the cows come home. But what about Jesus? Will I obey Jesus? David Platt said it this way. He said, my biggest fear even now is that I will hear Jesus' words and walk away. Content to settle for less than radical obedience to him. I have two beautiful grandsons, 4 years old, and the other one will be one in March. I just got to see them this week for a couple days and hang out with them. Beautiful boys. One day, those beautiful boys, whose dad is a youth minister in a local church and his grandfather is director of alumni relations at Lincoln Christian University, one day those grandchildren are going to say, why do you follow Jesus? And I will say, because Ezra and Rory, he set me free. There's one more thing. It's kind of important. When you faithfully obey God, he notices. Back in Genesis 6, there was a separation between the character of Noah and the actions of the world. Noah was righteous and blameless. He walked faithfully with God. The world was corrupt and full of violence. And at the end of chapter 7, we are given a reminder of the severity of God's judgment. Verse 24, chapter 7 says this, the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. And on either side of this verse, there is another separation. And this time the parties are reversed. First, the world. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and the animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. But on the other side of that verse, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Did you hear it? I'll say it again. God remembered. God remembered. Look, my friends, if you're looking for a hero in this story, because that's where we started, right? If you're looking for a hero in this story, you could do worse than to look to Noah. Noah showed his faith by being all in on obedience, standing out to a world that could not begin to understand him or his call. Heroes invite us to be like them, and I want to be like Noah. But if you're looking for the hero in the story, there is only one place to go. We don't get the hero in Genesis 6. We get the hero in Genesis 8, verse 1. God remembered. My friends, my father is the hero of this story. My God remembers me. When you live a life of faithful obedience to him, board by board, nail by nail, you begin to see that God is real. And you can say that not only does faith lead to obedience, what we believe leads to what we do, but obedience leads to faith. The reverse is true as well. It is the faithful daily walk of the believer that reveals the limitless grace and power of God. I have walked with God throughout my entire adult life, and I'm able to look back now and realize in hindsight just how faithful my God has been and continues to be. And because of that, my obedience has shown me that my faith in God is justified. Because he is who he says he is. He remembers me. He loves me. Ephesians 2 says this way. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." And if we stop reading it right there, it's real easy to say, okay, all I got to do is believe. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved by the grace of God. You are absolutely saved by the grace of God. But grace has a context. Grace has a result. Look what he says next. He says, "For we are God's handiwork." We are his poema. We are his masterpiece. We are his Mona Lisa. We are his Sistine Chapel. We are his Grand Canyon. The most beautiful things in the world that you can look at. He looks at you, the pinnacle of his creation, and says, "Those things are nice. The Grand Canyon is nice. The Pacific Ocean is nice. But you, my friend, you, my child, you are my masterpiece. You are my handiwork. You are the only one that I made in my image. You look like me." And because we look like him, what he says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We are saved by grace, through faith, for a reason. And that reason is to do the good works to honor him. Our faith leads somewhere. Our faith leads to obedience. And our obedience over the long haul, what did Eugene Peterson call it? A long walk in the same direction. Our obedience over the long haul brings us back to justification of faith. Who God is who he says he is. And he has shown that over and over again. Max Lucado tells a story of being at a prayer service in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. And the minister focused on a verse that I want you to hear. Genesis 6, 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I love what the minister said. He said there were a lot of things after the hurricane that Noah could not find. He couldn't find his neighborhood. He couldn't find his house. He couldn't find the comforts of home. He couldn't find the people down the street. There was not much that Noah could find. But what he did find made all the difference. Noah found grace. Maybe the world is too much for you right now. And you're finding it hard to show your faith by being obedient to God. Can I encourage you? Don't build the boat in one day. Today, in this moment, rest in the truth that God remembers you. Rest in the truth that grace has found you. Jesus sees you. He loves you. And from that grace that he pours into your life, swing the hammer. One nail, one board. One choice, one decision. One act of service, one small gift. One step in the right direction. Today, faith will lead to a step of obedience, and then another, and then another. And before you know it, your obedience will lead you back to faith. Our hero Noah points us to the hero, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and honor today. You alone are worthy. You are the hero of our story. That's what this is about, this whole book that we see, this Bible that we read. It's your story. It's your heart to bring your people back into relationship with you. And so much of our life is about taking the next step. Just like Noah, building a boat year after year, day after day, moment after moment, swinging the hammer, one nail, one board at a time. And through it all, the sky began to darken, the rain began to fall, and Noah saw grace. So I pray today that our faith would not just be something that we believe, something that we find to be nice and convenient and easy, but our faith would lead somewhere. That would lead to obedience. That would lead to a life of swinging the hammer day after day. And I pray that through it all that we would be able to look back and see you there. And that just as faith leads to obedience, I pray that our obedience will lead to faith. Because there's going to be a day, Lord, when you return. And it's not going to be as a baby in a manger. It's going to be as a rider on a white horse named Faithful and True, rendering judgment to the nations. And on that day, may you find us faithful to you. Lord, I pray for a person in this room that they believe, but they've never been obedient. They've never had the godly sorrow that leads to repentance, and the repentance that leads to baptism, and the baptism leads to a new life. I love the story of Acts 8 and Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's water. Why shouldn't we be baptized? Here's water. What are we waiting for? I pray, Father, for the ones in this room that might need to take that step of obedience today for the very first time. And as we honor you every single day of our lives, may you remind us we have found grace in your eyes. It's in your name we pray. Amen.